Situation update for Wednesday, April 28th, 2021. This is Mike Adams. Welcome. Thank you for joining me today. I'm, of course, the editor of naturalnews.com. I've got some very important stories for you today. The topic of this podcast is about vaccidents. Yes, vaccidents, which are vaccine-induced accidents. And I think that's a very clever term. I first saw it described by Cliff High, who's a very bright, very intelligent analyst on many, many things. But we're going to talk about vaccidents today and all kinds of strange car accidents and truck accidents that are happening in broad daylight on roads all across America. People losing their minds. Well, guess what? Guess what's happening, folks? It's vaccine-induced mini strokes. That's what's happening. This vaccine bioweapon is attacking the brain. And it is creating a zombie nation in many different ways. We're going to get to that. But first, got a lot of stuff to cover and some really cool interviews and things. A correction first from yesterday. Remember the video where I said the guy was slapping people in the face with a cast iron skillet? And it turns out it wasn't a cast iron skillet. It just sounded like one because I think there'd been some audio added to this one video. It was really hilarious. He was actually slamming Antifa people in the face with his helmet. I finally saw a slowed down video. It was just his helmet, not a cast iron skillet, sadly, because the cast iron skillet would have been so much more entertaining and effective. And I guess these people are lucky that they were only bashed with the helmet, not a skillet. So anyway, I just wanted to correct that. It's the helmet slam, not the skillet slam. Dang. All right. Yesterday, I had an interview with Alan Keyes on IMTV. And of course, Alan and I, we always have very interesting conversations. Bob Sisson was with us on the set, as always, with IMTV. And the three of us had a great time, talked about some very fun and interesting things. Be sure to check out that interview. It's on IMTV Media. That's the channel on Brighttown.com. And by the way, Alan Keyes and Bob Sisson and the other producers there, they have shows every day. They interview a lot of interesting people. And one of the people they interviewed also yesterday was Leon Benjamin, Pastor Benjamin. And Leon Benjamin is running for Congress in Virginia's 4th District. And Leon, I first became aware of this man, and he's an extraordinary man. I became aware of him in Tulsa when I was at this private VIP dinner, which wasn't so private. It was several hundred people. And Pastor Benjamin spoke there, and he had so much power and so much connection to people and connection to God and the truth. And it was like, wow, this man is amazing. I really need to meet this man. And we got a chance a little bit to talk behind the scenes over the next couple of days in Tulsa. And I really just had such a positive feeling about Pastor Benjamin. And so I invited him on to my show. And yesterday I was able to interview Pastor Leon Benjamin. And we had a great talk. We talked about the universe, the cosmos, demons. He talked about Satan ruling the second heaven, as he calls it. You might say the second realm. And then there's a third heaven or a third realm where God rules, and that's what we're trying to connect to. And we had a fascinating conversation. That's going to be posted, I think, maybe today or at the latest tomorrow on Brighttown.com. So be sure to check that out. And those of you in Virginia, I think Pastor Benjamin is running for Congress in the 4th Virginia District. And that's for 2022. And so y'all need to get out and vote. And I can say that because I'm a Texan. So y'all need to get out and vote for this man because he needs our support. It's Pastor Leon Benjamin. And his website is Benjamin for Congress. And that's the number four, the numeral four, BenjaminForCongress.com. Check him out. You're going to love this man. He's very important. Let's put him in place in Washington and bring some sense and some faith back to our nation. All right. Now, later today, I'm interviewing the Ice Age Farmer. That's right. This is going to be a fun one. I can't wait to talk to Ice Age Farmer. Christian is his name. And we're going to talk about food scarcity. That interview should be posted over the next couple of days. Also on my channel on Brighttown.com. I've also got a surprise interview with a oh, a very special woman, a physician who is saying some very important, powerful things about COVID. I'm not going to give you her name yet. Just a little teaser. That's coming up. Oh, yeah. You're going to love this. You just be sure to tune in. Okay. I've got the best people lined up for you. We're going to talk to them all. we're going to ask some good questions and learn some real deep truth in all of this. Oh, by the way, speaking of deep truth, the truth about cancer, the episode for tonight, remember there's a different episode each night. I think there are only two nights left. Tonight it is about cancer diagnostics, oral health, essential oils versus cancer, and how to heal skin cancer. And all of that is free to watch. Just go to thetruthaboutcancer.io, like the letter I, the letter O, thetruthaboutcancer.io. That's my landing page. You'll be able to register there. Watch this episode for free and the next one tomorrow as well. And that's all the Truth About Cancer series. People have been raving about it for the last week, and it's fantastic. You'll learn a wealth of information that may save your life or help you save someone else's life. All right, now the Deagle.com website, you know Deagle.com, right? Deagle.com that has put out the estimates that America, the population of America would plunge, I think the latest was down to 65 million people by the year 2025, I think. Is that what it was? Well, Deagle.com is offline and people are freaking out about it. It's like, what's going on with Deagle.com? This is a website that has been part of kind of a, I consider it kind of a Jane's defense, kind of a military, geopolitical analysis intelligence website. And for years, it's been talking about a plunge in the population of the United States, but the website never mentioned why. You know, and until COVID came along, people thought it was a hoax. Not anymore. Not anymore. You know, bioweapons are circulating. The vaccines are killing people. Vaccidents are happening all over the highways now. We'll get to that. So Deagle.com has been suddenly a lot more famous in the news. Nobody knows exactly who's behind it, but now they're offline. So the conspiracy theories will now totally explode about Deagle.com. It's like, what's going on? Who pulled it down? Is the deep state involved? I don't know, but I do know they're trying to kill us all. That's for sure. They are trying to kill us because we're human beings. And they, whoever they are, the demons, the anti-God Luciferian alien creatures, whatever they are, I don't care. You know, you can decide the lizard creatures from planet Zorg, whatever, but they don't want humans. That's the truth. They don't want humans around, especially not humans that believe in God. Okay. Never forget that. They hate us because we're made in the image of God. All right. Now I've got a real treat for you today. We have a about a 4-minute video from a guy. What is his name? Quick Dick McDick, or I think that's his name on YouTube. And he Quick Dick McDick, and he is apparently a farmer. And he has posted a video that's become very popular where he's explaining to vegans where canola oil comes from. And this guy's great. Because remember yesterday we were talking about the attacks on the food supply, and I said, you know, the thing about these liberals is they don't understand where anything comes from. They have no idea that food comes from farms, and farms need tractors, and tractors burn diesel, right? I was talking about that yesterday. Well, it just so happens that this guy, Quick Dick McDick, has put out a canola oil explanation video that is hilarious and also highly educational. And in this, he explains all the fossil fuels that are behind sourcing canola oil and other so-called vegan foods. So check this out. I think it's only about 4 minutes in duration. You're going to love it. Check it out.
Quick Dick McDick coming to you here with a Quick Dick McDick Toonie, where you get $2 worth of my opinions, because 2 cents don't buy very much anymore. Today, we're talking about how a vegan diet combats climate change.
Now, it has been made very public by certain environmental protesters, one whom's last name is shared with a Japanese motorcycle, that switching to a vegan diet will help combat climate change.
Quick Dick has a fantastic idea. While all of you, climate change is a global crisis, and stop the pipeline protesters, spread your vegan margarine onto your gluten-free bagels, let's have a close look at how that margarine is made.
Fun fact about vegan margarine, it is made of 74% canola and sunflower oil.
But Quick Dick, where do these products come from?
Well, first you need to fertilize and seed a canola crop, which takes an anhydrous tank, and then one of these, being pulled by one of these. Then once it starts to grow, it needs to be sprayed by one of these. Then once the time is right, we take one of these, hook it onto one of these, and then we cut the crop. Then we take one of these, and we separate the seed from the plant. Then in turn, it gets dumped into one of these. Then it goes into one of these. Oh, hey, Blue Ball!
Now, can anybody tell Quick Dick what product is required to make all of this equipment work? I'll give you a hint. It burns, it goes in here, and it is not the tears of a Swedish environmentalist. I'll give you another hint. It goes in here, and it is not peat moss. I'll give you another hint. It goes in here, and it is not the hopes and dreams of protesters. I'll give you another hint. It's used to make this, and it's also used to make the electronic device on which you are watching Quick Dick right now, and it is not bamboo! And now that our crop's off the field with an unseasonably wet and cold fall harvest season, we have to dry it all. Dirty global warming. So then the canola crop needs to go through one of these. Can anyone guess what it takes to make one of these work? It takes this! Can anybody guess what this is? I'll give you a hint. It's found in a gaseous form. I'll give you another hint. It runs your hot water heater, your furnace, the boilers in these plants that make this vegan margarine, and it is not unicorn farts!
Our canola gets hauled to a crushing plant where it gets turned into oil and loaded into one of those things. Then the canola oil gets pulled to a food processing plant by one of these, a locomotive. Can anyone tell Quick Dick what powers a locomotive? I'll give you a hint. It burns, and it is not environmental and pipeline protesters peddling the train. Well, what's the matter? Is that vegan margarine starting to taste a little bit like oil and gas? Well, we're not done yet. Now the canola oil needs to get processed into margarine, then it needs to be packaged into plastic containers, not even a paper thingy. And now that our vegan margarine has been packaged, it goes into a temperature-controlled trailer, pulled to a grocery store by a commercial truck. Now, can anybody tell Quick Dick what powers a temperature-controlled van in a commercial vehicle? I'll give you a hint. You find it in these, and it was not the almond milk chai latte you had before you came to the protest this morning. You see, the answer to all of Quick Dick's questions that he's been giving you hints towards is oil and gas products. Is Quick Dick being a little ridiculous? Yes. Is Quick Dick against vegan diets? No. Does Quick Dick believe we should work towards a greener planet? Yes. All Quick Dick is saying is that if you're going to tell him that he has stolen your childhood, we don't do enough, and we are killing the planet, I have one request for you next time you go to a protest. Walk, crawl, swim, or row, eat twigs, wear clothes made out of leaves, make your signs out of cattails, because the rest of it uses oil and gas to be produced worldwide, and you're killing the planet. But that's just how Quick Dick sees it. This is Quick Dick, Quick Dick with a Quick Dick, Quick Dick toonie.
All right, so fun video. I got to give two thumbs up to Quick Dick McDick for that one. That was really great. And he's making the same point that I've made many times, which is that, you know, guess what? Even if you want to eat vegan foods, where do they come from? They require all of this farm equipment, all of this transportation, all of this packaging, and all of that is currently using fossil fuels. Now, there aren't strong enough batteries or high capacity enough. Really, the technical term is you don't have sufficient energy density in battery technology to have battery-powered tractors. I mean, you could try. You could throw a couple of golf cart batteries at a tractor, and it would laugh at you. It would just laugh. It probably wouldn't even, you know, roll 50 feet before running out of battery juice, right? And you could try to slap solar panels on a tractor, and it would laugh at you. Because tractors use a lot of energy because they have a PTO. And a PTO is a power takeoff. Yeah, a power takeoff. It is a rotating cylinder, kind of like a drive shaft that extends... the receptacle for the rotating cylinder extends out the bottom back of the tractor. And into that, you can plug in things. You can put a shredder in there, and it rotates the blades of the shredder. More than one generator, but one in particular, a generator that plugs into that. And so I can run a tractor and run my generator, assuming I can start my tractor. And I am solving that problem with some improved starting batteries. You can plug things into the tractor, you know, like a combine or a hay baler or a cutter, a hay cutter, whatever. So tractors use a tremendous amount of energy. And for this reason, even vegans who are eating vegan food are burning fossil fuels. There's fossil fuels in all your food. Unless you're growing it yourself, folks. Unless you're doing homegrown permaculture, which takes a lot of physical labor. Yes, it does. And it's hard to grow enough calories to feed yourself, to do all the work, to do your garden. It turns out that oil provides the energy that translates into calories to feed the people so they can lead a vegan lifestyle. Yeah, because I know a lot of vegans. I've met a lot of vegans over the years. I was vegan for a couple of months. And guess what? You don't have a lot of energy. You don't have a lot of energy. No, you're not going to be able to do all that gardening work when you've lost most of your muscle mass. So, you know, just saying, be informed on this. Now, in defense of vegan diets, they are great for detoxing for people who've been living on junk foods and hamburgers and french fries and pizza and donuts and all that crap. So if you want to heal from all that stuff and you want to reduce the plaque buildup in your arteries and you want to eliminate your high blood pressure and things like that, guess what? Guess what? Veganism is very, very healing. Very healing. And you can do it for 60 or 90 days, maybe with the help of a naturopath. Make sure that you're getting what you need. You got to get your vitamin B12 and things like that. But veganism is great for detox. But for day-to-day living, working, it's got its limitations. We'll just put it that way. Moving on. I've got another fun video for you today. This one is a Freudian slip with a news reporter talking about taking the vaccine. Give this a listen.
Worrying health officials who call mass vaccinations the only path to a return to normalcy. Almost 4 months into the vaccination effort, providers are beginning to run out of people who want to be immunized.
Oh, what? They're running out of people who want to be euthanized by the vaccine? Yep, that's exactly what this reporter has accidentally admitted. Yeah, they're running out of people who want to be euthanized. Now they're going to have to coerce people into it. That's what's coming next. Little arm twisting from the government, little knock on your door, taking away your food stamps, taking away your government benefits, taking away your government stimulus money. That's probably coming soon. If you get vaccinated, they'll probably double your stimulus money, you know, because they want vaccinated people to go out and spend money in the stores to spread the vaccine shedding viral fragments, you know, to push the pandemic more quickly. So they got to get you out there, give you free money to go on a shopping spree. All right, now let's get serious here for a second about an issue. And this is a difficult issue for me to cover because I'm not going to make everybody happy by saying that. I'm not attacking anybody else in the industry, but there's some misinformation out there that I really feel needs to be corrected. And this is important for you to know. There are people in independent media who are claiming right now that there's no such thing as a virus and that there's no such thing as a virus that can infect a human being. And there are, you know, strong-willed people who are making arguments. And they are saying that that's true, that there's no such thing as any virus that causes influenza. There's no such thing as tuberculosis caused by a pathogen, and so on. And so they say COVID is completely fake, that there's no COVID virus, they say, that it never existed, and that all of the deaths and so on are caused by 5G exposure or other things. So I think that they are very wrong. There are viruses. The COVID virus was engineered. It's a bioweapon. It was funded by the NIH. It was funded with the help of Fauci and Barack Obama. And it was released. And it does infect people. And it does kill some people. It's just that the death rate isn't very high. So they had to hype that up and exaggerate that. But I can assure you that there are airborne pathogens that infect people. There's no question that this is the case. And in fact, when I was in Tulsa I got infected. I got exposed to something, and I was infected, and I was symptomatic, I think, 2 nights later, which is about the right amount of time for the incubation period of a virus. So it was something like maybe 48 to 72 hours later, I started to have an onset of some pretty aggressive symptoms. You know, I was getting chills, and I was suddenly feeling pretty strong fatigue. And, you know, I've felt this before. So I knew I was infected. But I also knew that my body can deal with this. In fact, I had planned for it. I've been taking vitamin D. I've been taking zinc. I've been getting plenty of sleep and taking care of my health. But I also had chlorine dioxide. And chlorine dioxide is something that the FDA lies about and says it's bleach, and it isn't bleach, because bleach is sodium hypochlorite, and chlorine dioxide is, well, chlorine dioxide, which is just two oxygens together with a chlorine atom. And the most important part of that is the oxygen part, because when you take chlorine dioxide, and I'm not saying that you should. This is up to you. I'm just telling you what I do. Whenever I have felt symptoms of a cold from an infection, from being exposed to a pathogen, whenever I have felt this now in the last, I don't know, year or so, I take some chlorine dioxide. Now, I don't sell this substance, and I don't even know where to buy it, actually. What the stuff I have was given to me. No commercial transaction whatsoever. And I can't tell you that it's going to work for you the same way it works for me. But for me, it knocks out every infection. And it has done it consistently. So when I caught something, because I was taking selfies and shaking hands and hugging hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe 1,000, I knew I was going to be exposed to lots of things in the wild, because I haven't been out in public since the fall of 2019. So that's been like a year and a half. So there's a lot that's been going on in a year and a half in terms of even just regular, you know, influenza viruses and so on, or other coronavirus strains, or who knows what else. So I knew I was going to be exposed, because I know viruses are real, folks. They are real. They do exist. They do infect, and they are spread from person to person. The answer, however, is not social distancing and masks and vaccines, which cause more shedding and more strains and more mutants to be spread out there. That's not the answer. The answer is strong immune system response, innate immunity. And in my opinion, from my body, when I need help, I take a few drops of chlorine dioxide. For me, I just use 6 drops of each, 6 drops of the mineral solution, 6 drops of the activator, which is basically just diluted hydrochloric acid, which is the same thing that's already in your stomach, by the way. So, and then I sip that over about 20 minutes. And it has worked for me beautifully. Every time it works for me. I've never had any nausea. I've never had any cramps. I've never had any side effects. The only thing I've ever experienced from chlorine dioxide is the elimination of the pathogen that was affecting me. That's been my experience. Now, the FDA, I think, is covering up the truth about chlorine dioxide. And we should do a whole show about that. I've interviewed Andreas Kalker, for example, and other people who are experts on this. And as Andreas explains, that when you swallow this, it releases a flood of oxygen into your blood. And this oxygen then is able to go directly after pathogens that are in your blood that are multiplying because you've been infected with something, you've been exposed, and this oxygen helps your body respond in a way that destroys the pathogen. And that explanation makes sense to me, and that is exactly what I have experienced. Now, some people take 15 drops. I don't know. Some people take 3 drops. I can't give you advice on what to take. I can't even tell you where to get this stuff. I'm just saying, well, I guess I'm saying 2 things here. There are people in the natural health community who I think are wrong when they claim there's no such thing as a virus, because there are viruses. But I also think the FDA is completely wrong to try to suppress the truth about chlorine dioxide. So the reason chlorine dioxide works for me, I believe, in my opinion, is because pathogens are real. And from time to time, I am exposed and my immune system is working on it. But I want to give it a boost. I want to kind of reduce the viral load count in my blood so that my immune system can get more of a head start. And then when it's all said and done, guess what? My immune system has built antibodies. So then I have natural, innate immunity. And by the way, I am absolutely convinced that I have antibodies against COVID. I'm quite sure that I have been exposed to COVID. In fact, I think I was exposed quite a while ago, back in late 2019, because of some international travel that went on and things I'm not going to get into. But I think I was exposed even before 2020. And I beat it then. And so my body built general purpose antibodies that can handle anything close to SARS-CoV-2. And that's what I'm experiencing right now. And this is why, in my opinion, I don't need a vaccine. I've got natural antibodies, and that's even better. And so why would I go out to a place like Tulsa and expose myself on purpose to 1,000 people right up close, you know, body contact, shaking hands, hugging, talking, you know, 10 inches away from each other's faces because the music is loud in the background? Why would I do that? Why would I do that? Because I have faith in the human immune system to do its job. I know that my ancestors would not have survived long enough to even have, you know, my parents and grandparents and ultimately me if they themselves didn't have strong immune systems. So I understand immune systems are real, but immune systems need nutrients. Immune systems need to have an avoidance of toxins. So the reason I can go out in public and do that is because I have absolute faith in my nutrition, in my lifestyle choices to support health. In fact, I have so much faith in that that I'm betting my life on it. I'm betting my life on it. If I'm exposed to any virus in the wild, I can beat it. And also, I have chlorine dioxide, and I've got other substances, you know, natural substances. I've got access to lots of alternative doctors and so on. If something were to get more serious, I could make some phone calls as well and get some additional help. But I never need to do that because I've got vitamin D and I've got chlorine dioxide. And for me, that works. That does the trick for me. Now, chlorine dioxide is not bleach. And the media organizations that are claiming it to be bleach are, they are pushing false information. It is not bleach. It's not Clorox. It's completely different. I would never drink bleach. I consume chlorine dioxide as a kind of emergency backup medicine. But at the same time, I think it's disinformation for people to say that there's no such thing as a virus that can infect you. Clearly, there are viruses that can infect you, and there are bacterial strains that can infect you. And there are people who die all the time from bacterial pneumonia, by the way. And there are people that die all the time from superbugs that are acquired in hospitals. We, you know, we talk about that. MRSA and C. diff and other superbugs are killing people all the time in the hospitals. Well, if viruses aren't real, how are superbugs killing people? Huh? I mean, bacteria or a viral strain. How are those killing people? And how come, I mean, I have a microscope. I can look at the microscope. I can see bacteria. I can see them. I can't see viruses. I don't have a scanning electron microscope, but I can see bacteria. They're there. So you can't tell me they don't exist. And you can't tell me, I mean, if I have oranges that sit around too long and I've failed to eat them, mold grows on them. You can't tell me there's no such thing as mold. You can't tell me no such thing as fungi. Because I can see it. It's green. It's blue. it's like an Antifa hairdo, and it's right there on my orange. I can see that. You're not convincing me there's no such thing as mold that spreads from fruit to fruit. And so when people tell me there's no such thing as a virus, and no such thing as a bacteria, no such thing as fungi, I'm like, come on. Come on, people. You know, I call that the flat earth theory of biology, and I'm not. I mean, the flat earth folks, I welcome all your videos on Brightown, by the way. And I know a lot of the flat earth folks are very well-meaning. They're actually some pretty friendly people. It's just that their theories are wrong. It's just, the earth isn't flat, it turns out. It is a sphere, and there are viruses and bacteria. So it's very important when we go down these rabbit holes and you start realizing how much is a hoax in the world. You're like, the news is fake, you know. The mask advice is fake. The scientific studies are faked, right? That's all true. I get that. The money supply is counterfeit. That's true. But sometimes you can go too far. You slip into that. Yeah. And you say, yeah, Joe Biden's videos are filmed on a green screen. It's all animation. And the earth is flat. There's no bacteria. You're like, what? What'd you just say? Because I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure there are bacteria, and I'm pretty sure that we are on a spherical planet in a universe full of spherical objects, such as, oh, I don't know, the moon, other stars like our sun. You can see it's round. You know, you can see the moon. It's spherical. You can look at the shadow. And if you have a telescope, you can see other planets, and they're round too. And you start to figure it out, huh? Maybe a sphere is the most efficient shape that God intended for matter to aggregate into that shape in a 3D universe. And it turns out it is. A sphere is the logical shape in a 3D universe. So, folks, all I'm saying is when you're going down the rabbit holes and you're realizing how much is fake, and there's a lot of stuff that's fake, don't go overboard. Don't be like, and the table of elements is all fake. No, elements are real. Yep, that's all real. Now, I have said things in the past like electrons don't exist. But what I mean by that is that they don't exist as particles. That's all I mean. That electrons are really sort of probability waves, orbital shells of atoms. And so that's what I mean. They're not physical particles. And I've said in the past that things like gravity aren't a real thing by themselves. What I mean is gravity isn't a force. Gravity is actually the bending of space-time. And when things appear to be accelerated under the influence of gravity, it's really just the appearance of that from our point of view. But what's actually happening is the bending of space-time is causing everything to be sucked into, well, that's not the right word either. When objects go into orbit around a planet, from the object's point of view, they're traveling in a straight line. They don't feel the acceleration of gravity. That's why when you're falling off of a building, if you've ever jumped, maybe you worked at Wall Street, I don't know, but maybe you've jumped off a building, you didn't feel pulled, you just felt weightless. Or if you've ever dropped from a roller coaster, you know, down the hill, you feel weightless. You don't feel pulled because gravity is not a force pulling you. Gravity is just now the bending of the fabric of the universe that is causing the appearance of you accelerating in a direction. So anyway, I mean, we could go into more explanations of that, but I've said certain things aren't real in the past, like electrons, but I mean that in a more detailed way. They are probability waves. They can appear as electrons if you ask where they are, right? You know, the Heisenberg principle and all that, but they are not physical real particles. Okay, I apologize for that. I realize I'm geeking out again, and that's completely my fault. Apparently, I've either had too much tea or not yet enough. I'm not sure which one that is. So let's just move on to genital mutilation. How about that? Change topics. There's a mutilated girl who now describes the horrors of child gender transition. This is reported by Big League Politics. She says, quote, "I can't believe I was allowed to have this procedure." And what's happening all around the world is that previously young boys and girls who are now reaching adulthood, they are realizing they've been mutilated by the LGBT push. They've been mutilated by with their school teachers in some cases advocating, oh, you're going to feel awesome once you get in the right body. I was like, what? So let's cut off your breasts. No, please don't do that. Or sometimes parents, they want to be progressive. Progressive, look at my child. You know, he's transitioning. how is he transitioning? We cut off his balls and now he's going to be a she. Isn't that wonderful? No, you cut off your boy's balls is what you did. And that boy is going to become, you know, an adult one day and is going to say, hey, why did my parents cut off my balls? And this is what's happening everywhere. And so there are a larger and larger number of these individuals. This one girl says, today is 5 years since my double mastectomy. So, right, they cut off her breasts even when they were perfectly healthy. So I ask you, what kind of medical system cuts off a little girl's breasts for no medical reason? A bunch of sickos. That's what that is. That's criminal child abuse. So she had a double mastectomy. She continues, I didn't think it would hit me this hard, but it's really tough to deal with. My scars are so large, and I want to crawl out of my skin. She writes, this is on Twitter. So think about it. They pounce on these young boys and girls, you know, the LGBT pushers, the genitalia mutilators. They pounce on these children and say, oh, you feel uncomfortable in your skin. Well, you were born in the wrong gender. So let us use this scalpel and we'll fix you. You know, we'll cut off these pieces and those parts and whatever. And then you're going to feel fine. And what they're actually doing is just mutilating children. And then these children later on are realizing they feel even less comfortable in their skin now than they used to. So what used to be gender dysphoria is now a psychological and physical scarring for life. They look in the mirror. They're like, I used to have breasts. Now I have two giant scars. Now, look, this is different for women who, if you have a breast cancer, let's say, and you've opted for mastectomy for a medical reason, that's different. I'm not talking about that. That's, you know, that's a person's choice. And in some cases, if cancer has really spread in lymph nodes in a breast, then that's a justifiable choice if that's your choice. I'm not saying it's my choice, but I can at least, there's a rationale for it. That's all I'm saying. But for young girls who have no breast cancer, no breast health problems, to chop off both of their breasts, to say now you're going to feel more comfortable in your skin, that is demonic. That is pure evil. That's what now these young women are realizing has happened. She goes on, I can't believe I was allowed as a child to have this procedure. Yes, yes. As adults of society, you and I, we are the adults. We're supposed to have a society where we protect the innocent and we protect the defenseless. And young children are defenseless. There should be laws to say that you can't physically maim a child. You can't chomp off the breasts of a seven-year-old girl or the penis of a seven-year-old boy. You can't do that. That should be the case. But Democrats love that. They love it. And I don't know if they have like jars full of formaldehyde with all the penises and breasts that they've chopped off all the little kids, like some kind of weird house of horrors, some kind of weird science museum in their basement next to the kids they're trafficking in there. Also with the dungeon kids, they've got live kids, they've got body parts, they've got dead kids. I mean, welcome to the Democrat fundraising hub today, you know, brought to you in a spirit cooking basement somewhere in San Francisco. But they're sickos. But why do Democrats support this? What kind of sickos are these Democrats that would say, oh yeah, a six-year-old child can consent to having their penis and scrotum and breasts all just surgically removed and scarred as long as we convince them that they're going to feel better as a different gender? I mean, how is that not a crime against children? How is that not some kind of weird, I mean, this is like Silence of the Lambs type stuff. These people doing this should be prosecuted and put under psychiatric evaluation. They are psychos. Now, I understand if they don't feel comfortable in their skin because they're demonic psychos, but it doesn't mean they should go chopping off body parts of other little children, does it? I mean, come on, people. You know what? Let me tell you something. Let me just add this in here because I interviewed Pastor Benjamin, and I didn't really ask him about this particular topic, but I would imagine, I'm just guessing, that he would agree with me when I say that when God judges America, there will be no forgiveness for those who mutilated children. Now, maybe I'm wrong. He knows more about the Bible than I do. You know, he probably knows the rules that God is going to apply much better than I, but I'm just guessing. I mean, God can forgive a lot of things, right? God can forgive a liar. God can forgive an adulterer. God can forgive a con artist. God can forgive a lot of things. An addict, let's say, who has recovered. God can forgive a lot of stuff. I don't think, and I'm just guessing, but I don't think God forgives child mutilators. Why don't you chime in on this? I would like to hear from you about this. You know, we have an email, situationupdate@protonmail.com. Tell me if you think I'm right or wrong about that point. I don't think you can mutilate a child and then say, oh God, I made a mistake, ask for forgiveness, and then he's going to. I don't know. Maybe I underestimate the power of forgiveness. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think you go to hell when you do that. That's what I think. And I think you should go to hell for doing that. But I guess in a more humble point of view, it's not up to me or you to judge these people. God's going to judge them. But I can pray that it's an Old Testament God, can't I? Can I pray for God to unleash the wrath that these people deserve? Is that a Christian thing to do, or is that not Christian? Is it not okay to pray for God's judgment against demons? I mean, I don't know. You tell me. But we'll let God sort that out. How about that? Let's move on. New York has lost a congressional seat due to COVID deaths. A congressional seat due to, from the 2020 census. So you've probably seen this in the news. Texas has gained, I think, 2 seats. California lost 1 seat. And New York lost 1 seat. And I think it was reported New York lost a seat only by 89 people, which is less than the number of people that Cuomo killed by stuffing them into nursing homes where people were infected with COVID. Okay, so way to go, Cuomo. You just lost New York a congressional seat by killing enough of your residents to tip the scales. It's kind of like, well, you know, you built your own personal hell. Now you're living in it. Good luck. But also, by the way, this points out more proof that COVID infection is real. COVID transmission is real. So again, people that are saying there's no such thing as a virus, no such thing as any infection, they're wrong, because otherwise, how did Cuomo kill all those elderly people? He put them in the nursing homes with other infected people. So obviously, the infection spread. Obviously. Otherwise, how did that happen? You know? So yes, it is infectious. And it is true that elderly people are specifically more vulnerable. And in the early days of this, say March or April of 2020, that's when the fresh bioweapon had just been released, and it was more powerful, and it hadn't, you know, co-evolved with the hosts, the human hosts. And through co-evolution, it became weaker all throughout 2020, to the point where now it's very, very weak. At least it was until they started vaccinating people. Now they're pushing out, you know, super strains, super mutant strains shedding from the vaccines. That's the real danger. Now, you know what? Just bottom line, this COVID would have been gone by now if we had just ignored it, like done nothing. No masks, no vaccines, no social distancing, nothing, no ventilators, nothing. If we had just said nationwide, hey, people, take some vitamin D, it would have been over. Would have saved us trillions of dollars in the economy. Wouldn't have had to have all this stimulus money everywhere, because people would have had their jobs and their businesses functioning as normal. That's all. We should have done nothing. Frankly, we should have done nothing. Government made it worse. Oh, what else is new? Government made it worse. And Cuomo lost a congressional House seat for New York. Good job, Cuomo. No, seriously, good job, because we're happy to take that seat here in Texas. Thank you, Cuomo. We'll have more power in the House here in Texas. Yes, thank you. All right, and reported by the Western Journal, a Canadian city has opened up vaccine appointments, but not if you're white. Okay. All right. So if you ever needed any more proof, those of you who are listening to this who are people of color, if you ever needed any more proof that this was a bioweapon against black people, look no further. They're actually telling white people, shh, don't come. Don't come get the vaccine. This vaccine, they're saying, even in Canada, this vaccine is only for people of color. It's a special one. It's the Tuskegee edition of the vaccine. I mean, come on. Come on. That's why people of color who do listen to this are like, yeah, we know all that. We're not going to get the vaccine, especially not the people of color edition. You know, the Black Lives Matter edition of the vaccine. No, that's the one you definitely want to avoid, because you know what they're doing, right? It's genocide. It is genocide. They've always been trying to kill Black folks. I mean, think about Planned Parenthood, the abortion centers all set up in the Black communities. You know, the founder, Margaret Sanger, talking about how she thought Black human beings were human weeds, right? What kind of sicko does that? Well, I guess maybe the same kind of sicko that surgically removes penises and breasts from children. She'd probably fit right in today, actually. She was just ahead of her time with her demonism. She'd probably fit right in. The little twisted society we have right now. But look, I tell you, anybody of color listening to this, even Asian people, Latino people, if you ever have any kind of a medical thing going on out there and you're invited to come in and it says whites excluded, you should run. You should turn and run away, because it's probably a bunch of racist, genocidal white vaccine doctors who are setting this up. And they've always thought of depopulation as a goal, and they've always wanted to really start depopulation with people that they think are the problem. And since they're the racist bigots, they think that that's Black people and Hispanic people and whatever else, because they're bigots. They're bigots. The medicine's all designed around that. I mean, they're like Hitlerian, Aryan race vaccine pushers out there. They're pushing a new Holocaust, except it's not the Jews in the crosshairs this time. It's Black America. It's kind of obvious at this point. Pretty obvious. Oh, and check this out. This is from InfoWars. A growing number of employers will not hire vaccinated people or allow submission garments, masks, or social distancing in their workplace. I think this is great. A private school in Miami has warned its staff against taking the COVID-19 vaccines. And the school said it won't employ anyone who has taken the experimental jab. And this actually makes sense, because an email sent from the co-founder of the school said, quote, tens of thousands of women all over the world have recently been reporting adverse reproductive issues from being in close proximity with those who have received any one of the COVID-19 injections. Yes, we're hearing reports of this, right? Women having horrifically bad periods. I mean, the menstruation effect of this is so bad that the transgenders might ultimately be right. We might have men needing tampons soon if this gets any worse. That's how bad it is. And they continue, no one knows exactly what may be causing these irregularities, but it appears that those who have received the injections may be transmitting something from their bodies to those with whom they come in contact. Number one, you have to appreciate the proper grammar of that. To those with whom they come in contact. Yeah, we're going to have an old English lesson next, the King's English or something. No one talks that way anymore these days, but I guess they're teaching grammar at that school. Nevertheless, it's a good policy, isn't it? Because, you know, until we know what's being shed by these vaccinated people, we have to protect the students. That's a rational thing. That's actually the compassionate thing. Why would we want to have our students subjected to a medical experiment, a mad medical experiment pushed by a bunch of crazy Holocaust, you know, vaccine Holocaust, Nazi thinking kind of, you know, what's even the right word for these people? Fascism, you know, it's not Marxism. It's not socialism. It's fascism. These vaccine experimental lunatics are endangering everyone. So yes, you should protect the children. It makes sense. This is the one sane school in America, and it's called the Centner Academy. Yeah, it's a private school, the Centner Academy. And so I don't know where they are exactly, but probably be a smart place to send your kid. Yeah. Oh my. Now if the women who are close to people who have been vaccinated start to experience crazy menstruation, it's like a level one side effect, right? That's pretty serious. But if men around people who've been vaccinated start to experience menstruation, that's like a level four side effect. It's like, oh my God, we've been turned into transgenders. the gene editing is actually real. Talk about infertility. Oh my goodness. With transhumanism and all kinds of other crazy things that in the minds of Bill Gates, you know, is going to reboot the human race with a blue screen of death, you know, use ultrasonic sperm killers around your scrotum. But who knows? You may not, no one may even have a scrotum soon if they get their way. They're just going to convince all the boys that they have to be girls. And then anyone who resists will be called some kind of a chauvinist, racist bigot. And then don't worry, they'll have a vaccine jab to make your nutsack fall off. This is the vaccine zombie song. Remember, I said that in the vaccine zombie song like 10 years ago. I could see the future, I'm telling you. Go back and listen to Vaccine Zombie. I wrote that thing 10 years ago. It's all true. It's all true now. You're seeing it all right now. Vaccine zombie. Yeah. It started cutting out my brain. Happy as can be. Another undead zombie from the CDC. I never figured out what happened to me until they said we got another vaccine zombie. That's the song. Yeah. Lots of craziness. Saw it all coming, folks. I saw it coming. All right. Now, speaking of vaccine zombies, let's get into the topic of today. Oh, my. 48 minutes later, or more than that with the other videos. I'm sorry. Vaccidents. So credit goes to Cliff High. I don't know if he came up with this, but I always like to give people credit. If I'm using their term or their word or whatever, I give them credit. So I heard this from Cliff High. Talks about what happens when you test a mind-destroying mRNA gene therapy vaccine on a billion people. Well, what happens is people start having vaccidents on the roadways and while operating heavy machinery. So vaccidents, my theory is that this is happening because people are having mini strokes and or maybe sometimes major strokes. They're losing cognitive function. And these vaccines are designed to turn people into vaccine zombies. So there's all these stories from people who are seeing this happen in real time. Quote, I have a startup company and I work every day of the week. Every day I'm on the road heading back and forth from home to my office in the Raleigh, Durham area via I-40. Recently, I've noticed a massive uptick in seemingly bizarre accidents. Vehicles of all kinds, usually singular, running off the road and crashing, not in bad weather, not in the middle of the night, just all of a sudden. I've also noticed folks driving kind of with a dazed look, weaving about, stopping erratically, not driving at speed, like 10 miles per hour below the speed limit. I've driven in the local market for a very long time and have not seen this behavior before. I'm wondering if it's the beginning of the vax brain damage of some kind. And then someone else chimes in. Yeah, it's been happening here in Oz, too. I don't know if they mean Australia or Austin. Just a spate of pointless accidents, no cause, just people running off the road into ditches and rivers, running into poles and into other cars for no reason, not even speeding. It's like everyone is having sudden heart attacks or blackouts behind the wheel. And then all these other people chime in. Like, quote, I've observed a noteworthy amount of head-on collisions and high impact with trees across the USA. Another person, I've been noticing this over the past 2 to 3 weeks. It's become much more pronounced in the last week. Something similar with parking. I see people driving around parking lots, looking for a spot, driving past open spots repeatedly, and then choosing some random spot like they couldn't choose one. You know, they have this indecision effect of the brain damage. Another comment, Maine here, delivery driver, definitely good observation. The part about people driving ridiculously slow now, barely even keeping with the speed limit. I don't even wait for them anymore. It's really getting bad in the past few weeks. I've tried to avoid the roads, but it's to the point I've had many thoughts recently to quitting my delivery job. I don't fear dying from COVID. My big fear is being taken out while driving by someone having a bad reaction to the vaccine. Exactly. Exactly. These vaccine-induced drivers are all over the roads. And you know how for years it's always been mothers against drunk driving, you know, don't drive drunk. Well, what about driving while medicated? What about driving while vaccinated? What about driving with a vaccine-induced stroke? Huh? Because what do you think happens with blood clots? Causes strokes. So another person here, I've ridden in my sister's SUV in recent days. She's a nurse and she was vaxxed about 3 months ago. She was driving erratically and drifting through lanes. I've never known her to be in an accident, but she had some close calls the last couple of days. She doesn't push the vaccine as hard as she did, possibly because she has had some symptoms. I went out Friday, another person, Southern Tier, New York, very rural, shopping in Hornell. When I returned home, I immediately told my spouse how crazy 19 was. I guess that's Highway 19. Many trucks driving right near the double lines, cars weaving as though the driver was in another world. Folks, these are vaccidents. This is what happens when you mass vaccinate 100 million people. Actually, you know, let's check the CDC. Let's see where we are today. Let's bring up the actual numbers here. All right, it is 142 million Americans have had at least one dose. That's about 43%. So there you go. And about 30% have had two doses. So 4 out of 10 drivers on the roads may have a blood clot, stroke, or combination thereof at any moment. At any moment, that vaccine could kick in. And, you know, you saw the rapper DMX. He died, what, a week or two after the vaccine? From a heart attack, of course. From a heart attack caused by the blood clots caused by the vaccine. So what's clear is that these vaccines have a multi-week blood clot effect. They can cause artificial clotting for many weeks, in other words, and then these can cause strokes or even blackouts or death at any time. So yeah, this is actually a dangerous time to be on the roads because of the vaccidents that are happening. And doesn't it make you wonder about vaccinated airline pilots? Huh? Vaccinated airline pilots. And that doesn't even cover Delta Airlines previously announcing, was it Delta, that they were going to hire the most woke pilots, you know, transgender pilots, but not the ones most qualified if they were white. So if you're flying Delta, they already fired the most qualified pilot if they happen to be a white person, and they're bringing in the most transgender woke pilot who probably has a death wish anyway, because that's what they all want. And then they're going to make sure they're vaccinated. So you're going to have your pilot and your co-pilot stroking out mid-flight. And thanks to 9/11, they've locked that flight deck door, so you can't even get in there and grab the controls. You know, grab the radio. Hey, walk me through this, control tower. Everybody else died of a vaccine up here. We got to land this plane. And they're like, are you a pilot? No, but I want to live. Walk me through it. I'm a fast learner. Try me. You know, that's what I would say. I mean, I'm trained to fly Cessnas, so it's close enough. I'm like, okay, this is a 737, but it probably has wings and ailerons. I can figure it out. Walk me through it. This is why I don't fly commercial, by the way. There's too many bad scenarios that can happen there now with pilots stroking out in the middle of the flight. And, you know, you have to wear a mask and all this crazy stuff. I mean, think about it. They make you wear a mask while they're vaccinating the people flying the plane who might die from a stroke at any moment. An in-flight vaccident. Yeah, it's a special kind of entertainment. But doesn't it make you wonder, too, you know, about the military and fighter pilots or soldiers on the battlefield or people driving the ships, or maybe that's not the right term. What do you say, you Navy veterans out there, sailing the ships, navigating the ships? I mean, why are all these Navy ships running into each other all of a sudden? Are these people stroking out with vaccines too? Are we having like naval vaccidents now? There was a whole submarine from, what was it? Was it from Indonesia? They lost a submarine a few days ago. All, I think, 56 people died. What happened? What happened on the submarine? Did somebody have a vaccident? It's a legitimate question. And then, you know, who's running the government now? I mean, don't even get me started. Joe Biden was a walking vaccinant before vaccines ever came along. That guy has little cognitive function on a good day. You start adding vaccines into that, I mean, that dude strokes out and nobody notices, because he always talks like a stroke victim. I'm sorry to say. Maybe you're going to say that's too cruel. I'm not dissing stroke victims, but my God, we didn't elect Joe Biden. That dude's not running the government. I mean, that's a sick joke on America right there. We didn't elect him. America elected Trump. Oh, yeah, and even Trump's pushing vaccines right now. That's got us all disturbed, or at least he appears to be. What's going on with that? Yeah, seriously, I have the same question. I don't know. Why is Trump pushing vaccines? Is he trying to expose the harm of the vaccines? Is he trying to accelerate all of the side effects to really tear down the whole vaccine industry long term? I mean, people have proposed that, but that might be reading too much into it. I don't know. But I tell you what, this is not a great time to be around vaccinated people. That's all I'm saying. Vaccinated people flying planes, vaccinated people at the workplace, vaccinated people as teachers in your child's school, you know, vaccinated people driving cars and trucks on the roadways, trucks filled with liquid propane. This is just like a George Carlin disaster waiting to happen here. All right. And then adding to that, we have a new study. Over 50% of liberal white women under the age of 30 have a mental health issue. This is according to a Pew Research study. Unreal, right? Over half of white liberal women have been diagnosed with a mental health condition. And there's this article, this is from evmagazine.com. They're saying that women are 40% more likely to develop depression than men, and that this is due to lower levels of serotonin. The women are also more likely to have anxiety and depression because of that deficiency. It's like, you mean, so you're admitting that men and women are different? Because I thought 5 minutes ago you said there's no difference. I thought you said men and women are all interchangeable. You know, and you got Bruce Jenner running for governor of California pretending to be Caitlyn. I mean, haven't we already had a transgender in the White House, by the way, named Michelle? I mean, do we, is this, I'm watching Republicans now. They're like, we love this transgender Republican candidate. And I'm thinking, don't you want honesty in your political candidates? I mean, shouldn't we have a level of honesty from Bruce on that? Dude, you're not a woman. You're a male athlete, a pretty awesome athlete, you know, pretty accomplished guy, but you're not a woman. You can't be a woman, and you're not better than any woman. Remember when Bruce Jenner was named Woman of the Year by a magazine and how insulting that was to all actual women? And the message from, you know, the liberal media was that the best woman in America is a man. It's like, I thought you were supposed to be in favor of women. Now you're saying that men can be better women than women? Because, you know, when Michael Obama lied to all of us and pretended to be a woman, that was deception. That was a deceit. We know there's been a transgender in the White House for 8 years. We know Obama's gay. We already had the first gay president. We already had the first transgender first lady, so to speak, first man slash lady. We all know that. I mean, anybody who's informed knows that. But why the deceit? Why couldn't Obama and Michael just come out and say they're gay? Why couldn't they do that? Why pretend to be a woman? Why all the pretending? Because it's about deception. It's about fooling the public and laughing behind the scenes at how stupid people are to think that Michael Obama was a woman, when he's clearly a man. In fact, he's a bigger man than Obama. He's more manly man than Barack himself. I mean, if I were to guess, that whole thing should have been reversed. Obama should have been the woman. But I'm just guessing. I guess it's up to them and what roles they want to play. But why deceive the country? Why pretend? Again, because they get off on that. They get their jollies off deception, you know? I mean, America wouldn't have rejected Barack Obama and Michael Obama just because they were gay. They wouldn't have rejected that. It's like, oh, okay, a gay couple in the White House, you know, it's progressive. This is America. They would have been just as welcomed by everybody. It probably would have been celebrated even more by, especially by the left. Why pretend? Why lie to the world about what you really are? You know, pretending. That's what Democrats do best. They pretend. They pretend to care about children. They pretend to care about human rights. They don't care. They pretend to care about national security while they have open borders policies. You know, they pretend to be informed when they're completely oblivious about everything. They're pretenders. And that's why I call Biden, you know, the first pretender. He is the pretender in chief. All right, last topic of today. The CDC has new mask guidance, and the CDC has now declared that, for the most part, you no longer have to wear a mask outside if you've been fully vaccinated. And what they're really saying is that you still have to wear a mask outside if you're a complete moron. That should be what the CDC is admitting. If you're a total idiot, continue to wear a mask while you're jogging on the beach by yourself. If you have no brain remaining, if you are so obedient that you got the vaccine, you probably still want to wear a mask to show your obedience. So this is my question. When now that the CDC guidance is done, you should go up to people who are wearing masks outside and you should say, hey, you're wearing a mask. Have you been vaccinated? And if they're wearing a mask, they'll probably say, oh, yes, I have. Oh, yes, I've been vaccinated. I've had double, triple shots because it's such an important thing to do. You say, well, don't you know the CDC says if you've been vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. So why are you wearing the mask? And you know what the answer is? The honest answer is they're wearing a mask like a trained dog wears a muzzle. They're wearing a mask because they've grown accustomed to their obedience. They now feel more comfortable in chains than they do experiencing freedom. They're still wearing a mask. They'll probably wear it for years because it makes them feel comfortable, even though it's infecting their lungs with all kinds of pathogens. Remember, that's a real thing. We talked about that earlier. They are inhaling crazy things into their lungs, but it still makes them feel more comfortable psychologically because they want to feel obedient. Oh, it's like a rush. It's like a drug for these people. Oh, got the needle, and got the mask, and got the compliance. And we're just going to worship Fauci. Who was that idiot singing the song? It's like, Mr. Fauci, give me a vaccine. Do, 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 do. And it was like, oh my God, you are beyond cringeworthy. You should just jump out of a helicopter, basically. What kind of people are they just want to be slaves? They just want to be slaves. And when you look at globalists and they're like, people like Bill Gates are thinking how easy it would be for them to kill 6 billion people. And they're probably saying, well, the first billion would just volunteer. And they're right. The first billion will volunteer. In America, again, back to the CDC, what do we have? 142 million people volunteered to take the first shot. Those are suicidal, ignorant people. They're just lining up to die. And believe me, they won't stop wearing the masks outside. You'll see them walking down the sidewalk with their obedient muzzle on. And even if they're vaccinated, they're still going to wear the mask. They'll probably ask you, why aren't you wearing a mask? You know, answer, because I'm not an ignorant slave moron. Because I'm not an animal. I'm a human being. What are you? What kind of zoo did you come from where they require masks? I mean, I saw a petting zoo a couple miles back, but I don't remember seeing you there. Where did you come from? Wildlife refuge or something? Did they tag your feathers with a tracking chip? Also, the little RFID injection under your skin? Is that what's going on with you? What are you? But by the way, the CDC guidance, this new guidance that says for the most part, you don't have to wear masks outdoors if you've been vaccinated. They say that you should still wear a mask, even if you've been vaccinated, in certain settings, such as large gatherings, which they say should be avoided. Avoid gatherings, you know, like church or talking to people in a pub or something like that. So they're admitting the vaccines don't work, because if the vaccine worked, then I thought that was supposed to be a license to say, hey, we can go into crowds because we have this bulletproof vaccine now, supposed to be all immune now, right? That's what we were promised. That's what the media said when they lied and committed medical fraud and said the vaccine would make you totally safe. It's all a lie. But now they're admitting the lie by saying you still can't have crowds. Which brings up the obvious question, if the vaccine doesn't work, why are you getting it? You know, I mean, that's what you should ask people who are getting it. Why are you getting the vaccine when there's no benefit? Even according to the CDC, it still doesn't give you immunity. What is the upside? I mean, we know the downside is that you might die of a blood clot in your brain. You know, you might have the worst period ever in your life and bleed all over in a horrific way. We know the downside of this thing. You might have a stroke. You might be paralyzed like that one woman ended up. You might die of a heart attack. Some pretty significant downsides. What's the upside in your mind since it doesn't give you immunity? What's the upside? And you know why people can't answer that question? Because the brains have been fried. They've already had the strokes. They're brain dead. They are vaccine zombies already. The zombification of America has already reached 142 million people. You're never going to be able to talk sense into those people because their brains don't function, period. And these people are flying airplanes and building bridges and driving cars and sailing ships, and they're going to crash into each other. Hey, maybe this is what happened in the Suez Canal. Maybe that was a vaccident in the Suez Canal. Remember the ship got lodged in there sideways? Probably the ship captain was stroking out. He was probably taking hits of Johnson & Johnson on the bridge. Let's do this, man. Let's cruise through the Suez. And just stroked out. Boom. 1 week, global trade shut down. Vaccidents, maybe. Makes me worried about who's got the nuclear codes and whose fingers are on the buttons and which vaccines they're taking. This could be, the Drake equation that talks about how many intelligent civilizations might exist in a galaxy based on a number of variables. Is like 25 variables. And one of those variables is how likely an intelligent race is to destroy itself. I think we need to adjust that variable up because I think that with this combination of nuclear weapons, nuclear power plants, and vaccines that cause strokes, we need to have a whole new factor in here of self-destruction. I mean, Fukushima was bad enough, but we didn't have vaccines messing with people's brains back in 2011 when that accident happened. That just took up, an undersea earthquake. But what now? What now? Who's running the nuke plants? And how bad is it going to get? I think it's going to get bad. You're going to be walking up to somebody in the park and they're going to forget who they are, Probably still wearing a mask, obediently took the vaccine. They're like, where am I? And by the way, I agree with Tucker Carlson on this. It's time to confront mask wearers in public, gently, not to attack them physically or anything, but just to say, hey, you wear the mask. Your mask is making me uncomfortable. This is a great line. And this comes from Tucker Carlson. It's great. Your mask is making me uncomfortable. Please take off your mask. Just say that to everybody who's wearing a mask. It'll blow their minds if they have any minds left. But it's just flipping it all upside down because you know how they would say to you if you weren't wearing a mask, they would say, where's your mask? You not wearing a mask is making me uncomfortable. Just flip it around. Say, hey, you wearing a petri dish on your face is making me uncomfortable. You inhaling bacterial pneumonia is making me uncomfortable. You being an obedient dweeb who is oblivious to reality and has surrendered your life to Fauci, you are making me uncomfortable. And aren't you already vaccinated anyway? So why are you even wearing a mask? Of course they're vaccinated because they're obedient, obedient drones. All right, now I'm looking through my checklist here to make sure I have offended everyone equally tonight. And I see I have missed out on some Europeans. I'm kidding. I'm not going to offend anybody in Europe tonight. Thank you. And I'm not going to offend Oregonians tonight. But I'll save that for another night. How about that? But, if we don't push back on this mask thing, in Michigan, they're already saying you got to mask two-year-olds. Two-year-olds. I mean, what kind of weird obedience training is that? Because, when they reach six, they want to cut off their genitals. So I guess it's just part of the training of how to destroy children, brought to you by Democrats. But if we don't push back against this, before long it's going to be, oh, you got to mask your dog. You got to walk your dog in a mask, and you got to vaccinate your dog, and you have to vaccinate all your pets. And then in Oregon, after they passed that new law banning ranching, they'll probably say you have to put a mask on every chicken. And I don't know if anybody's making little beak masks, and chickens don't have ears. I mean, not the kind that stick out. So I don't know what you would hook them onto. But I can really see a lot of fun in Texas and Oklahoma if they say, we're going to have to mask the wild pigs, and we're going to have a rally and a contest to see who can put the most masks on wild pigs. And they'll probably be like Elon Musk, have some kind of X Prize award, $100 million for whoever can mask the most wild pigs. And people will line up and run around and try to put masks on hogs. Meanwhile, the Texans are probably just shooting all the hogs because that's what they like to do. Where does the insanity end here, folks? Where does the insanity end? If you have to mask dogs and cats and hogs and cattle and chickens, then do you have to mask the genetically modified mosquitoes that Bill Gates just released in Florida? Does someone need to build little tiny mosquito masks? And the answer is no, because they're designed to infect you. See, that's the whole point. They're designed to infect you. So you can't have mosquito masks. But what else would they require you to mask? Do you have to run around your house, you know, look for rodents? There's a squirrel in the backyard not wearing a mask. It might be spreading COVID while it's looking for nuts or burying nuts. Yeah, those dangerous COVID squirrels. They're a real threat to society, Fauci might say. Got to put masks on them. I mean, where does the insanity end? Seriously. Are they going to make you vaccinate all the animals? Even in the wild? Are they going to airdrop edible vaccines for all the wild horses, you know, in Wyoming and everywhere else? The insanity has got to stop. And it stops when we wake up and we challenge these lunatics in public and say, hey, why are you wearing a mask? You're making me uncomfortable because of your sheer stupidity and your obedience to quack science nonsense. And all these lunatics taking the vaccines who run around claiming, I believe in the science. I believe in the science. They wouldn't know science if they tripped over it. They if you smacked them upside the head with a chemistry book, they wouldn't know what hit them. They don't know science. They're part of a cult. The cult of scientism, but not real science, because real science is supposed to be evidence-based, and there's no evidence that these masks do anything. There's no evidence that the vaccines are safe or effective. No evidence. They've never even been approved. It's all a grand experiment. So a mask now, someone wearing a mask, it's a symbol of blind cult-like obedience. It's a mask cult. And fortunately for us, the people in that cult have a uniform. The uniform is the mask, especially the blue ones. Like little blue surgical mask with the little ear bands. That is a cult symbol. So from now on, it should be very easy to identify these lunatics and try to talk them out of the cult. Hey, you know you're in a cult, right? This is your cult uniform. Come out of the cult before it destroys you. Yes, you're being controlled by false authority, as happens in every cult. You need to escape the cult. You can regain your freedom, and you don't have to cut anything off your body to do it. So join us in the free world where we eat healthy foods, you know, and we walk in the sun. We get outside. We don't live as like cave rats. Which is the way people have been living for the last year. Welcome to the real world, folks. Welcome to reality. Welcome to freedom. Welcome to social interaction. Welcome to a society where you can spend time with family and friends. This is the real world. And this is the world that we must reclaim now before we lose it forever. So that's my action item for you today. That's my homework for you today. It's time to start peacefully, nonviolently, questioning the mask cult right to their mask faces. Question it. Say, you make me uncomfortable. You are in a mask cult. Please don't wear your cult uniform around here. That makes me uncomfortable that I'm around, you know, such a dangerous person. You're probably shedding viral strains as well. Probably all in your mask. In fact, take off your mask, but when you do so, fold it up and put it in your pocket. We don't want those viral shedding particles to escape. How about this? Take off your mask and burn it. Right here. Take it off and burn it, for God's sake, people. All right, that's the situation update for today. And believe it or not, I actually did not get to some of the things I needed to cover. So, well, we'll get to that tomorrow. Until then, thank you for all your support. Thank you for what you're doing. I appreciate you just as much as you appreciate me. We're in this together. We're trying to regain human freedom. We got a lot of work ahead of us. We need each other. So I thank you so much for your support. I'm the founder of naturalnews.com and brighttown.com, as you know. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, blessings to you and God bless America. Thanks for listening. Survival Nutrition is our new free audiobook that you can download right now from survivalnutrition.com. In this nearly 8-hour audiobook, you will learn life-saving secrets of how to use food, nutrients, plant molecules, trace minerals, and chemical compounds to save your life, even in a total collapse scenario. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I'm the author of Survival Nutrition. I founded and run a multi-million dollar food science laboratory, and I'm the author of the best-selling science book, Food Forensics. I'm also a prepper, a patriot, and a survivalist. I can teach you how to survive what's coming by growing your own food, medicine, and antibiotics that can help keep you healthy and alive even during the worst of times. At survivalnutrition.com, you'll be able to instantly download the full free audiobook as MP3 files. Keep a copy of all these files on your local hard drive and print out the full guide just in case we lose the power grid. Survivalnutrition.com.